the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's Friday, February? Might as well be.
Jesus. Yeah,
October 9th.
October 9th.
I have a trade to propose for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay. I'd love to hear this trade. You know, the trade deadline isn't until never. So let's do it.
Trade I'm proposing is Kyle Kuzma for Mike Pence.
Oh, God.
On the Los Angeles Lakers.
You know, Mike Pence, he's got that appeal to that middle-aged lady crowd.
Kyle Kuzma for the fly on Mike Pence's head.
Ah, there we go. What about Kyle Kuzma for, I don't know, Barry Manilow?
I'll tell you a real one. Well, first of all, just to update, I'm sure you guys know, the Lakers lost game five.
Lost game five.
Tonight.
And Chris was uninhibited by me saying the wrong date for the game for this one, because I never said the wrong date for this one.
That's right. This was a very frustrating game to watch. It was a good finals game, I will say. It
was a really, really good finals game.
Good game, but frustrating to watch in that, it struck me what is frustrating now about this team, the Lakers, is that they do resemble a Cleveland Cavaliers team, which is what I worried about when LeBron came to the team, which okay. is LeBron. The difference is it's LeBron plus AD, but it's two guys plus scrubs. And that's how those Cavaliers teams were constructed as well. And I think this might be controversial, but I think this is even if they win, this will be the least likable Lakers championship team of all time.
Whoa. The least likable.
In terms of you like the way they play as a team, you like the way that even the less talented players, rise to the moment.
You're frustrated by Kuzma. You're frustrated by Danny Green. You're frustrated by Rondo. You're frustrated by Morris. You're frustrated by
Dwight
Howard.
I'm frustrated by positions 3 through 10.
Okay.
On the minutes chart. Because I don't feel them playing with the same. I know they're not as talented as LeBron and AD, so I don't expect that. But there are times in this game where they didn't play with the same energy, or they didn't play with the same precision, or they didn't play with the professionalism that they should play given their abilities and given their role on the team. I would say that I can probably think of like 5 to 7 plays in this game where a player made a really boneheaded decision that, I mean, cost probably 12 points in the game, in a game that was like a 1-point game with however much time left.
Yeah, Dwight Howard's flagrant foul, the 3-point shots that were Crowder and Robinson had 4-point plays. I'm trying to think what else. Kuzma had just some really, really bad shots.
Yes, and some bad defense.
Bad defense, too.
Even Rondo threw the ball away a couple times just for no... You know, I've criticized the Lakers previously for being very stagnant when AD is out of the game and it's just LeBron and four guys and LeBron just shoots a three-pointer.
Yeah.
At some point, I'm just like, just shoot the three. Now I kind of understand why you do that, because there were times that other people would just throw the ball away. And I don't know. It was very frustrating because this, I actually think this was a like all time finals game performance by LeBron.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, 40 points, 6 3 pointers. He was on fire.
And what was his shooting stats for this? Like he missed like 5 shots, or it was something like, did he shoot like 68% from the field or something?
Something absolutely insane like that. LeBron James, 15 for 21. So just under 75%.
So, I don't know. Like even Caruso, when he got that charge, I know it's a borderline call, right?
That wasn't a borderline call. That was a bad call.
That was a bad call, but he's Alex Caruso and it's Jimmy Butler taking the charge on him.
I do not care. That was a terrible call.
Yeah, I'm very not into blaming the refs for much that happens in the series.
That's fair.
Because to me, that was an open mid-range jumper for Caruso that he could have taken.
Yeah, but he's not good at those.
Well, I don't know. To me,
he's an athletic drive to the rim guy. That's what he is. And he drove to the rim and he got to a spot faster than Jimmy Butler did. And they called the foul on him instead of Jimmy Butler. Like, I'm gonna take him doing that 10 times out of 10 rather than pulling up for a mid-range jumper, which is not his thing. That at least to me is the way you want Alex Caruso to play, right? It didn't work out. It didn't turn out the right way, but that's the way I want Alex Caruso to play.
I think I want people to take shots when they're open. And they're even like Danny Green at the end had a open lane. He could have just gotten to the free throw line and shot a jumper as well.
Now I would take Danny Green doing that, right? At that three-pointer that he took. I would take him having a free throw and shooting a mid-range game. That's his game. That can be his game.
Yeah. what were we saying that would have been for Caruso? Like a 10 to 16?
10 to 16.
And well, from he does shoot 17% from that right out of the field.
I'm not wrong. His mid-range game is miserable. He should never be taking a mid-range shot, and I would much rather have him be aggressive like he's supposed to be.
Yeah, I understand that in theory, but as that play was happening, it did seem like it was forcing the issue. Like, I was not surprised it was a charge call.
Okay. And that was early in the shot clock, right? It was like a transition play.
Was it a transition? I feel like maybe he got a rebound or loose ball or something, or I don't know. Actually, I don't remember that play. I mean, I don't remember how that play developed. Actually, I do think that the clock management in general, like Markieff Morris got an offensive rebound of Danny Green's miserable 3-point attempt with 6.3 seconds left on the clock. The ball was in his hands and he acted like it was 0.6 seconds on the clock or something. Like it was very odd to me. This is what I don't like about the Cleveland Cavaliers star plus scrubs model. Is and this is why Markieff Morris is being compared to J.R. Smith so much tonight, is that you expect more veteran awareness from Danny Green and Markieff Morris. It seems like it's like if they don't bring veteran poise to that moment, then why aren't you just like, why isn't Quinn Cook in there? Like, or I don't know. Like, the whole point of being a veteran is that he catches the ball with 6.3 seconds left. And also, what's weird is he didn't even behave the way you normally would on an offensive rebound like that, which is he could have just shoveled it off to Danny Green, who was right in front of him, or to KCP, who was right in front of him. So he did have to turn like 180 degrees to find LeBron. So let's say he doesn't. So every time people get long offensive rebounds, like a very common play is to just dump it off to a guard right in front of you. And one of those guys could have seen LeBron. There was so much time left on the clock and they were only down by one.
I feel like if that was a bounce pass, game was over, right? Then
could have been a bounce pass.
AD would have been able to get it, but he threw the ball over AD's head. Like he was trying to pass it to AD. Yeah. He threw it out of bounds, but you know,
yeah, he was flailing in a panicked
way. Oh, yeah. And that, you know who that's on?
Are you going to say Frank Vogel?
I am going to say Frank Vogel because of his poor challenge on LeBron's charge earlier in the game.
Oh.
Right? I think the Lakers' timeout management a little bit forced because of the Anthony Davis injury. But they did not have good timeouts in the fourth quarter. Right. It was,
yeah, that's a good point.
They didn't have the timeouts that they needed to compete at the end of that game. It was close. We should have had more.
Yeah. I would, I'd say that's a significant but minor factor in a way.
Yeah.
Because they did, they did have more timeouts than the Heat did at the end of that game. So, because they had one left and the Heat didn't have any. Jimmy Butler was great. It was interesting. I always think it's funny how the narrative of who wins a game defines. If you look at all the reading on this game now, it's like Jimmy Butler has a gem of a game to save the Heat or whatever, which he absolutely did.
Yeah.
But LeBron's game, it was better than Jimmy Butler's game.
Yes, it was.
And actually, I would say that Jimmy Butler didn't play that great in the fourth quarter.
No, he really didn't. He played fine.
Yeah.
But I think mostly I'm just like, I'm bummed that the Lakers let that fourth quarter go the way that they did, because they had all the momentum and they really could have pushed to close that series out.
I felt like the whole game they didn't. They kind of let the whole thing go constantly. Like, I mean,
the only two players that were keeping them in that game were LeBron and Anthony Davis, and yeah, it was mostly LeBron.
I felt like in the first quarter Anthony Davis was like very strong.
Yeah.
I just felt there were lots of opportunities where they would get pretty close. And then honestly, like plays such as like Dwight Howard just throwing the ball on an inbounds, literally just throwing the ball out of bounds from the inbounds pass after a made basket. Like, it was a 1-point game at the end of this game. Every single one of those plays is a huge deal.
Yeah.
The Miami had a 6-point offensive possession.
Oh God. Dwight Howard. Fuck, man. That sucked.
Yeah, that really sucked. I feel like Dwight Howard is getting a little bit escalated from the Crowder interactions and the Butler interactions, and that he's getting a little wild,
yeah,
in ways that he used to, except in ways that he used to, he was an all-star.
Yeah.
And he could back it up.
The first one wasn't his fault. The first one, that was on Jimmy Butler, right? He's muscling down under, you know, he's going to do that. Jimmy Butler tried to tackle him out of the way. That's not Dwight's fault. The second one, where he wound up and he hit him in the head, he should have been ejected from the game.
And also, I just don't think that's a reasonable, I don't know. It's a weird challenge, actually, to a rebounded ball. Like, why aren't you trying to rebound the ball? It seemed like you were trying. I know they were saying, like, it's not intentional, but he was not trying to rebound the ball. I thought that was strange.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard had 2 offensive rebounds, 0 defensive rebounds. I actually thought that the Lakers' defensive rebounding was bad in this game.
Jimmy Butler got a lot of really good offensive rebounds.
Yeah, and some of them I was like, you know, there was one where like Kendrick Nunn got an offensive rebound that Rondo didn't. And sometimes you watch the replay and it's like, there is a certain amount of randomness in rebounds that, you know, you can't say like, by the way, like most guards at least don't even box out. Like, that's not even their approach to rebounding. So it's easy to say like, oh, look, it fell right into Kendrick Nunn's hands because he was so aggressive about it. But sometimes it's like, you know, I Rondo is a good rebounder and I trust his instincts to like be in the right spot. And sometimes it just doesn't bounce the right way.
Yeah.
But there were lots of times. In fact, how many offensive rebounds did Miami get? They only got 9. It felt like more where Jimmy Butler got 5.
Yeah, that's why. It's because they all led to – I mean, it feels like they all led to points.
Yeah.
Even if they didn't.
Duncan Robinson, I was just late when I predicted he would play better. He is now playing better.
That was his game. That was the good one.
I think that by the way, there was one thing that happened. I think it was like 16 seconds left after Jimmy Butler made free throws to put them up. I actually thought that the Lakers shouldn't have called the timeout and they should have attacked Tyler Hero, who was still on the court. Because they had a timeout before Butler's free throws.
Yeah.
They had time to talk about what happens when he makes these free throws.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, if Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero are still on the court, you should attack them after a made free throw. You know, like, the team doesn't have any time to set up exactly what they want to do, right?
They still could have put, Iguodala in for Hero. Right? I don't know if they were going to in the middle of those free throws or not, but
they
didn't.
But they called a timeout after his second free throw.
Yeah, the Lakers did. Yeah.
So they could have just if they hadn't put him in between the two free throws, they couldn't have put him in afterwards without the timeout. So if he goes one free throw and they're not subbing Iguodala in after the first free throw,
yeah.
To me, I'm like, just go between Robinson and Hero. You have somebody that we can switch on to LeBron or onto AD for a better two-point attempt. Instead, they called a timeout, and then when they came back from the timeout, the Heat had their full defensive roster in.
Yeah. I think I would have preferred to save that timeout for the scenario if they missed on the last
I would have it would have been nice if they actually went quick.
Yeah.
Against and tried to hunt Hero or Robinson.
I mean, just like Jimmy Butler did.
Yeah, get a shot attempt. And then if they miss and it's rebounded with, 4 seconds left or something, then they can foul and then go set up. They can call a timeout after the made free throw and move the ball to half court and go for a 3-point attempt. It was... Yeah, I don't know. It was frustrating. I'm actually not that worried at the moment about this series as a Lakers fan. I don't think actually – I think AD will be fine for the next game. That's
me. I think he'll be fine too.
I think that there's a propensity among Lakers fans to imagine now that like he's out for the next game and then it's game 7 and whatever. I think that in general the Lakers are a better team than the Heat. And so I think that the variations of between Crowder, Robinson, Hero, Nunn, and Kuzma, Morris, Caruso, KCP, they're all kind of just like, they're probably all just like PER 15 to 17 players.
but also just like lower it a little. Their PER like 13
to 16,
10 to 14.
By the way, Casey posted a thing the other day of the Lakers are basically like a bunch of D20 rolls. If we get D20 above what 14s and 15s for some of these people.
Yeah. I think my things were above, 12 for Caruso, above 14 for Danny Green, above 12 for KCP, above 14 for Kuzma, above 14 for Morris, and 16 for Howard, some shit like that.
And then I did go immediately to the Wizards of the Coast random die generator and rolled D20s for those, and they were all under.
well, okay, but you only did one. You only did one, right?
How many do you do?
No, I mean, you only did it one time, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, now you got to do it again.
Let's see. I'm trying to find the roll where I did that. Because I also want to see if I was accurate, if the rolls were accurate for tonight's game.
They were accurate because everybody was under.
And really, in the game, they were all under.
Right? Yeah. KCP was not a 2. KCP was more like a 10. Rondo was more like a 7. Danny Green, a 7. Caruso, a 10. Kuzma rolled a 12 on here, but in the game today, he was like a 3. Morris and Howard.
How many dice do I need to roll?
You need to roll 7d20.
7d20. Here we go.
Let's do this.
All right. 7d20, roll. Here's what I got. Let's see. By the way, the Wizards of the Coast random die roller is very un... aesthetically appealing.
I can imagine.
Who's first?
KCP at 12 or higher.
I rolled an 18.
18 KCP hits.
This is for game 6.
This is for game 6.
Who's next?
Rondo, 14.
He rolled a 14. So that's a fail.
That's a fail.
Okay.
Danny Green at 14.
11.
Caruso at 13.
6.
Kuzma at 12.
17.
Hey, KCP and Kuzma. Morris at 14.
17.
Okay, Howard at 16.
2.
Okay, yeah, well, that sounds about right.
But you got 3 that were above.
Yep,
So is that all you need?
That's all you need. I mean, you only needed two and you got three. There's going to be a blowout.
Oh, so wait, what did I say? Who KCP, Kuzma? No,
KCP, Kuzma, and Morris.
Okay, so game six, those guys are going to have big games.
Well, hey, at least you got a better roll that time than you did last time. The last time the total roll was 54. What'd you get this time?
This total is 85.
85. Oh, beautiful.
Did it feel like by the way, one thing that was great about this game was I do like basketball games where it feels like every single shot goes in. I know that's not really what was happening, but it did feel like every shot from Butler and Duncan Robinson was going in.
Yes.
Did it feel to you like KCP, Kuzma, Danny Green, and Morris had so many open three-pointers that they missed?
Yes, it did. And here's the deal. That bears out. Danny Green made 2 3-pointers.
Yeah.
But the rest of the team, not so lucky on three-pointers.
Well,
KCP with 3 for 8, which is fine. 2 for 5 is still fine. Anthony Davis, 2 for 5 is still fine. But the bench, Alex Caruso made the only 3 off the bench. And, you know, that's not going to do it for us.
You know what I realized tonight is that this team feels like the bench starts at spot 3. It feels like the whole team is the bench. Like, I don't know that between 3 and 12 or 3 and 15, if there's a huge talent difference.
Hey, I also don't know that.
I thought Rondo had a pretty good game. You know, I would have liked a little more ball, taking care of the ball. But
I want to see more transition pushing from him. I feel like the more the Lakers play in transition, the better they're going to be. So,
yeah. It does feel like the Heat have kind of put a lid a little bit on that. That they've managed to. I see the Heat having more. They're controlling the flow of. Even like LeBron is not getting to spots that he wants to as easily. For example, I don't think in this game there was any LeBron classic barrel in, spin, easy layup play that I saw.
No, there were a lot of really hard ones.
Yes. In fact, the last one, the three-point play that he did against Robinson and I think it was maybe Jay Crowder or something, that was a crazy shot because in the slow motion, I was like, oh, that wasn't even on his hand.
Properly. No, yeah, he barely even shot that ball. It was crazy.
Yeah. So what do you think is going to happen in game six?
I think the Lakers are going to win by 15 points.
Ooh. Well, yeah. I mean, if those three guys have great games.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're obviously predicting it based off those dice rolls. So,
I think AD is going to be fine, and I think he'll have a fine game. I think that it's pretty clear that LeBron is going to be the finals MVP if they win.
Yep.
And I think that Jimmy Butler is obviously the finals MVP if they win.
Yep.
One thing I want to bring up, a genuine... actually don't know if this is a trade or a deal that or some kind of signing or whatever. I texted to you that I really wanted them to win tonight because I really want the Lakers to start the process of changing their roster and getting rid of some of these guys. And the one that I read yesterday that I was genuinely like, ooh, that would be nice is Joe Harris.
Oh, yeah. I think Joe Harris would be a good fit. Can we fit him in the mid-level? Good fucking luck.
There are a lot of... Well, you probably could if he's ring chasing, right? A little bit.
He's too young to ring chase. Get that money, Joe Harris.
But is he too young to... Your profile gets raised a lot by being on the Lakers and playing with LeBron. So yeah. It's possible that financially the salary isn't better, but the opportunities are better. That's what that's the pitch I would make if I was Rob Pelinka.
I think Joe Harris is going to be making... $15 million somewhere.
Let's see. What did he make this past year? He made 7.6. He's a complete free agent.
Yeah. So, like I said, I think he will be signed somewhere at $15 million a year next year, and the Lakers can't do that.
What's the mid-level?
I think for the Lakers, it's going to be around 6 to 9 or something. I don't know exactly because they're not at the, like the hard cap mid-level, but they'll be at the mid-level.
Well,
and who knows what it's going to look like when this CBA gets ripped up.
Yeah. If not Joe Harris, somebody like him, because there are a lot of available 3-point shots on this team right now. I think if the Lakers end up losing this series, part of it will be that the defense of the Miami Heat, as I mentioned after like game one, is kind of turning them into the Houston Rockets a little bit. Or it's turning, I mean, they are giving them a lot of 3-point shots. And I wouldn't say that a lot of the 3-point shots that were missed tonight were exceedingly well covered.
Yeah.
The last one by Danny Green was very, very open. And you just have to think that if we switched on these two teams, Duncan Robinson and Danny Green, or really even Kendrick Nunn and Danny Green, or somebody that's just like, there's a lot of shot 3 points to be made.
Yeah.
Let me just quiz you real quick. Who are you going to try to re-sign from the Lakers this year? First of all, Anthony Davis, I actually don't know what. Is he going to take the player option or is he going to renegotiate?
Oh, he'll renegotiate.
Okay. KCP will take the player option, I'm sure.
Maybe.
I don't think he will get more from someone else. Avery Bradley, I assume, will take his player option.
For what?
5.
Okay.
JaVale McGee for 4.2. Will he take his player option?
Yes.
Okay. DeMarcus Cousins.
He doesn't have an option, does he?
No, he's just free to go.
I think he'll sign somewhere else.
Jared Dudley.
I think he'll retire if they win.
Okay. Dwight Howard.
I think he's gone.
Markieff Morris.
I think he's gone.
Rajon Rondo has a 2.7 player option.
I'm not sure. I think he stays.
I think he'll just take it.
I think he stays. I don't know if he'll take that or not, but I think they'll try to re-sign him.
Troy Daniels.
Is not on the team.
Oh, well, he's not getting money. He's still getting a salary.
Well, he got salary because he was waived.
Is this the salary that he got? Is it like proportional?
Okay. Yeah.
Boy, Kyle Kuzma's on the team for 3 more years. Deion Waiters.
I don't see him staying for any particular reason.
You know what? Is Costas still around? I think they should get Costas on the team. So anyway, it's obviously too early. It's just watching a game like this makes me want to change the roster. That's
good luck.
Like I just think back about like the feeling of the team when it was like when you're rooting for Lamar Odom, Pau, Sasha, you know, like the, I don't know why. I just liked those teams more than this. And I don't think it's just because they won.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be tested. Like when this team wins, if they win, I don't expect me to have a big like flip of sentiment for players like Kyle Kuzma and Markieff Morris.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
I know. By the way, this team is talked about as like one of the most hated teams in sports currently. Like it's written about that way. And I'm like, oh, what? Because of like Dwight Howard and J.R. Smith and all those dudes.
I don't know.
I don't see that either. I just say that I'm pundit. That's a thing I read a lot in punditry. So
I'm going like this.
Yeah. Casey is a combination of scoffing and smirking.
Scoffing and smirking and scoffing and smirking. Let's buy the whole thing off.
Okay, I think that the Lakers will also win game 6. I will be genuinely worried if they don't win game 6. It will just be annoying to me. I just find this whole playoff run annoying in some ways. Of course, my first pick, the Rockets, are not going to win it. I think they're not going to win it at this point. And also, it blows the 4-1 pattern. Disappointing.
Yeah, I'm sad about that. I'm mostly sad about that.
Okay, the next game is, let's get this right so that I don't miss the next game.
Next game is Sunday at 4:30.
Oh, boy. You know what? Luckily, that's a 7:30 game for them in Orlando.
Yeah, better than the 9 o'clock game.
Because, but also Lakers often are like, there's like a urban legend that they're bad at the day games.
Oh.
Also, I realized that tonight they could have, if they win, the bubble's over. Like, everyone goes home the next day.
Yeah. Now so, everybody's got to stick around.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a motivation there of just like, I just want to leave this hotel room.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, when this, whoever wins this championship, when the bubble ends, that also means COVID ends.
Ooh.
So that's more motivation. Okay, cool. So we'll check in with you after Sunday's game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please let this be over.
I want to be over so I can cancel my sling.
Oh, you've been on sling this whole time.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're not going to trigger another month.
Oh, I'm hoping. I did it at the beginning of the Denver series. So okay. Here's hoping.
All right, Casey, good talk. We'll see you guys on Sunday.
Catch you later.
Bye.